Things Which Must Shortly Come to Pass by Professor David Inglesma. Chapter 5. Premillennialism, Part 3. Orientation, Part 3. Quote, Chileism is not of Christian, but of Jewish and Persian origin. Unquote. Quote, Chileism comes in conflict with Christianity itself. In principle, it is one with Judaism and must get to where it attributes a temporary passing value to Christianity, the historical person of Christ, and his suffering and death, and it only first expects real salvation from Christ's second coming, his appearance in glory. Like Judaism, it subordinates the spiritual to the material, the ethical to the physical, confirms the Jews in their carnal-mindedness, excuses their rejection of the Messiah, reinforces the veil that lies over their minds when they hear the reading of the Old Testament, and promotes the illusion that the physical descendants of Abraham will as such still enjoy an advantage in the kingdom of heaven. Unquote. Quote, the community of believers has in all respects replaced carnal, national Israel. Unquote. Hermann Bavinck, Reformed Dogmatics. The complicated timeline of premillennialism regarding the future, as we described premillennialism in the preceding articles in this series, is as follows. 1. The rapture of the church at any moment, perhaps as I sit typing this article for the Standard Bearer, evidently not since the article is published, or perhaps as you sit reading it. 2. 7 years of God's special dealings, once again, as in the Old Testament, with national Israel, physical Jews, to restore Israel as his kingdom, as in the Old Testament, including the rise of Antichrist and his persecution, or tribulation, of the Jews for 3.5 years, the latter half of the 7-year period. 3. The visible, bodily return of Jesus Christ, not as Savior of the Church, but as King of the Jews, in order to establish an earthly kingdom of Israel, headquartered in Jerusalem, where the risen Jesus will sit on an earthly throne for 1,000 years of continued history, or the millennium. 4. The millennium of the worldwide kingdom of Israel, the carnal peace, prosperity, and power of the Jews for 1,000 years of world history. 5. An astounding revolution of the ungodly masses who have been in this carnal kingdom all along, against Christ's earthly kingship and kingdom. The revolution of the ungodly against King Jesus, proposed by premillennialism, is astounding in view of the awesome majesty of the risen Jesus Christ. Before him, the beloved disciple John fell at his feet as dead, Revelation 1 verse 17. Reprobate, ungodly men, in contrast, are supposed to have the courage to take him on, personally, in combat. The result of the battle of the ungodly against Jesus at the end of the millennium, we are happy to learn from premillennial scholars, will be the victory of Jesus. 6. The triumph of Jesus over his enemies in this final battle will spell the end of history and the onset of eternity. At that time there will be yet another resurrection of all the dead and the conducting of the final judgment. Fundamental to all of this eschatological nonsense is the doctrine of dispensations. Hence the full name of the heresy, premillennial dispensationalism. One may be excused for hearing in the second part of the name a hint of the word sensationalism. Read Hal Lindsey's The Late Great Planet Earth, aptly subtitled Incredible Prophecies. Incredible means unbelievable. No Reformed Christian believes Lindsay's sensationalized but essentially accurate description of premillennialism's millennium. No Reformed Christian gives any credence to this, to the description whatsoever. Nevertheless, how popular this incredible premillennial doctrine is among professing Christians, the advertisement on the cover of my 1971 edition indicates, over 600,000 copies in print. Hal Lindsay, The Late Great Planet Earth, A Penetrating Look at Incredible Prophecies Involving This Generation. Grand Rapids, Zondervan, 15th printing, 1971. Premillennialism divides human history into a number, the preferred number, if not the orthodox number, in premillennial circles is 7, of distinct, different periods or ages or dispensations. The different periods are distinguished, supposedly, by God's differing dealings with humans during the dispensations, specifically, His testing of humans in various ways. In his notes in the Schofield Reference Bible, C.I. Schofield defined a dispensation as it occurs in dispensational theology as a period of time during which man is tested in respect of obedience to some specific revelation of the will of God. Ryrie's own definition is essentially the same. A dispensation is a distinguishable economy in the outworking of God's purpose. Ryrie immediately adds the fundamental dispensational elements of distinctive revelation, testing, failure, and judgment. For our purposes, it is enough to note that premillennialism sharply and radically distinguishes the time of the Old Testament from Moses to Jesus Christ as the dispensation of Israel, the nation of Jews, as God's earthly kingdom, with the law as the controlling word of God, the present time from Jesus Christ to the imagined and imaginary rapture, is the dispensation of the church as a spiritual body of Jesus Christ, saved by grace, with the gospel as the controlling word of God, the law having been discarded. The goal of all the dispensations is the dispensation of the millennium, as the time of the restoration of Israel as the kingdom of God on earth in the most glorious form of the kingdom. In this yet future dispensation, the church loses its prominence in the estimation of God and in the working of God in history. The Jews are all, not Christ Jesus as the church's head and the church as his body and bride are the goal of history, but the Jews and their earthly kingdom of 1,000 years. My description and criticism of premillennial dispensationalism in the articles that follow will concentrate on the eschatology of this false doctrine, its teaching about the last things, especially its teaching of the millennium. Because the notion of dispensations is fundamental to the eschatology of premillennialism, specifically its teaching of the millennium, my criticism of premillennialism must, nevertheless, take the doctrine of dispensations into account. It is not my purpose, with this section of my treatment of the eschatology of the millennium, to engage in polemics with premillennial dispensationalism. This was my purpose with the preceding examination of postmillennialism. Postmillennialism claims to be Reformed. The error is prominent today in some Reformed and Presbyterian churches. It is aggressively promoted by prominent Reformed and Presbyterian theologians. Reformed Christians are falling for the fantasy of postmillennialism. It was not necessary, therefore, to engage postmillennialism in controversy. Such is not the case with premillennialism. By the admission of its leading proponents, premillennialism is not Reformed. Indeed, it is anti-Reformed. Premillennial writers usually describe the Reformed theology that they oppose as covenant theology. All the apologists for premillennialism oppose Reformed covenantal theology. They oppose covenant theology openly, by name. They oppose it vehemently. All acknowledge that premillennialism and the Reformed faith are diametrically opposed at the very root of the two beliefs. J. Gresham Machen seriously erred. Therefore, when trying to enlist premillennial churches in his righteous warfare against theological liberalism, he downplayed the difference between premillennialism and Presbyterian covenant theology. He writes, "The recrudescence of Chileism or premillennialism in the modern church causes us serious concern. It is coupled, we think, with a false method of interpreting Scripture, which in the long run will be productive of harm. Yet how great is our agreement with those who hold the premillennial view? Their error, serious though it may be, is not deadly error, and Christian fellowship with loyalty not only to the Bible but to the great creeds of the Church can still unite us with them." End of reading. Ryrie recognizes covenant theology as a main opponent of premillennialism, if not the main opponent of premillennialism, by devoting an entire chapter of his defense of premillennialism to a refutation of covenant theology. Acknowledging covenant theology as the chief theological foe of premillennialism, the contemporary progressive premillennialists concentrate on achieving some accommodation with covenant theology. The second chapter of Blasing and Bach's Dispensationalism, Israel and the Church is titled The New Covenant and the Peoples of God. What the radical opposition between dispensationalism and Reformed covenant theology is, we consider in what follows. Because of the avowed, unreformed, and anti-reformed nature of premillennialism, my purpose is not to contend with that teaching, even though some contending must inevitably take place. For such polemics, the interested reader may consult John H. Gerstner, Wrongly Dividing the Word of Truth, A Critique of Dispensationalism, Brentwood, Tennessee, Wohlgemuth and Hyatt, 1991. John H. Gerstner, A Primer on Dispensationalism, from Phillipsburg, New Jersey, P&R, 1982. O.T. Alice, Prophecy and the Church, of Philadelphia Presbyterian and Reformed, 1964. Abraham Kuyper, Chileism or the Doctrine of Premillennialism. G.M. Pernis, Grand Rapids, Zondervan, 1934. Herman Hoeksma, The Millennium in Reformed Dogmatics, Grand Rapids, RFPA, 1966. Although this treatment of what Hoeksma calls Chileism is brief, it is helpful in that it enters closely into premillennialism's mistaken interpretation of key passages in the Book of Revelation. And Herman Bavinck, Reformed Dogmatics, Volume 4, Holy Spirit, Church, and New Creation, John Vriend, edited by John Bolt, Grand Rapids, Baker, 2008. My purpose in treating of premillennialism at the conclusion of my explanation of the millennium is to demonstrate to Reformed amillennialists the error of the eschatology, or doctrine of the last things, of premillennialism and the differences between the two eschatologies. To be continued.